I can't say. Now listen, I have a notebook here. This is for thoughts. I'm getting old enough that if I don't write them down, I forget them. So I've been having thoughts. And the Lord gave me a thought a couple days ago. And I think that's where we're going to go this morning. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We'll start there. The book of Mark. We're going to look at three people this morning that came to Jesus. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not.
Man.
The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There was a fella at the pool of Bethesda who had been there for over 30 years. And the story goes, and it's not a story to me, it's a fact.
Amen.
It's in the Bible, it's a fact.
Amen.
Once a year, the angel would come and stir the water. And the first one in got healed of whatever disease they had. And this poor fellow with this infirmity, he was so debilitated. He said, he told the Lord, he said, the angel would come, the water would be stirred. And by the time I'd get in, going to get in, someone got in before me. Sometimes we can't get in the water, so the water comes to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Sometimes we can't get into the water, so the water comes to us.
Amen.
Bible says in the book of John that Jesus said this, John chapter 4, I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. He had a divine appointment with a woman who came to the well that noon, not because she was thirsty, but she had an appointment with Jesus. And she went there at noon because she was a woman of bad reputation. She couldn't go out and get her water with the rest of the women because they knew that she would look at her or maybe even say the derogatory things about her. But she thought, I go out at noon, get the water that I need. And little did she know that the water was waiting on the lip of the well.
Amen.
Yes.
She walked up and he said, give me drink. And she was perplexed. She said, how can you, a Jew, speak to me, a Samaritan? He said, well, if you'll give me to drink, I'll give you water to drink that you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
And I love the story. She gets saved. And he says, go tell your husband. And she says, well, I have no husband. And he said, you rightly said, for you've had five of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the man you're living with right now, you didn't even marry him. Now, how many fingers am I holding up?
Six.
But one day, the seventh man came.
Amen.
Amen.
One day, yes. She finally met. One day, the one man she's been looking for.
That's right.
Came
come on,
to
man.
Her.
That's good. Amen. That's good.
And what was the thing she told the city of Samaria? Come see the man.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know my reputation. I love the fellas. But come see the man.
Amen.
That told me all things whatsoever do. And the Bible says the whole city got saved.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Great multitudes got saved because of her testimony. And the rest of them, come on, got saved because of the teachings of Christ. Because Jesus, I like my brother sings a song, the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demands, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are.
Amen.
So he came to me.
Amen.
He came to me.
Yes. Yes.
When I could not come to where he was, he
Amen.
Came to me.
Amen.
That's why he died on Calvary's tree. For when I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
Amen.
But I want to speak for just a few minutes, and I promise you, it'll just be a few minutes. Now, we great weed after this. Now, that's the real reason why I came. I have a young lady back there by the name of Ashley. She's about to eat us out of house and home. So you better get down there before she does. There won't be anything left. She's back there going, you couldn't tell if she was blushing. We love her. She's a sweet girl. She's our daughter. We call her our daughter. She's coming down the steps one day. She works at the camp. We were sitting, my wife and I were sitting on the couch, and I spoke up and said, here comes our daughter. And she's been referred. She's referred to herself as her adoptive parents. She's a good woman. We love her.
Amen.
Big help. But I like to tease her. Her name is Ashley, but we call her Smashley. There were three people. And in their great desperation, their need was so great, they couldn't wait for Christ to come to them. They came to Him.
Amen.
Their desperation was a desperation founded upon faith, founded upon the Word of God. The Bible says here in our text, and when she, verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, when she had heard of Jesus, you know what your need is this morning? You need to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
You know what the solution to mine and your problem is this morning? It's still Jesus.
Amen.
You know what this desperate country needs this morning? It's Jesus.
Amen.
You know what your only desperate life needs this morning? It's Jesus.
Amen.
She heard. What did she hear? She heard that Jesus could meet her need.
Amen.
There were four fellows that brought a man with the palsy. Four? How would you like? Listen to me. I need four friends like that.
Amen.
That when I can't go to Jesus, they take me to Him.
Amen.
Bible says they were. He was born of four. Fiddled up in a position of palsy. Unable to move. But four compassionate friends said, I know what we can do. Let's take him to Jesus. They tore a hole in the roof, lowered him down because they could not find a way to get him in. The building was packed. The doors were packed. Couldn't get in. And somebody said, listen to me. They were so desperate to get their friend to Jesus, they tore a hole in the roof.
Amen.
That's just my opinion, but I think that house was Peter's. Because it was in Capernaum, and that's where Peter was from. And I can just hear Peter now saying, what are you doing? I just put that thing up. I don't have to do it again. But look at me. Isn't that a lot like us disciples? Jesus took a little child, set the child down in the middle of them, and said, except you be converted and become as one of these little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. One chapter later, the children were screaming after Jesus, and the disciples rebuked them. The disciples rebuked the children, and Jesus looked at the disciples and said, sever the little children and forbid them not. When the disciples saw that the multitude was hungry, they come to Jesus and said, send them away. For they are hungry, and this is a desert place. But no, Jesus said, let's give them something to eat. I'm glad. Look at me. I'm glad the world, that Christ doesn't listen to the world and the church.
Amen.
When the trouble come to Jesus, and we see the trouble come to the house of God, we think to ourselves, what are they doing here? No, they're here looking for what they're here to find what we've already met.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God he come to us. Thank God there was somebody that brought us to Jesus.
Amen.
But there were three people in the Bible that the Bible says they came to him. They came to him. The first one is this woman with the issue of blood. Her disease made her bankrupt. Her disease made her lonely. Her disease was debilitating. Ostracized her. And put her outside the realm of decent society. She could not, as a leper, go out among the people. But one day she heard that Jesus was in town. Let me back up and smack that dog one more time. You know why she went to Jesus? She heard what Jesus could do.
Amen.
You know why Jesus Christ told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God? It's because the world needs to hear about Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Because the world is in desperate straits and desperate and debilitating diseases. They need Jesus and they need to hear about the answer, which is Jesus Christ.
Man.
And when she realized that Christ was in town and all that she heard up to that time of what Christ had done, she thought, surely he can do that for me. Glory to God. He can do it for you too.
Amen. Yes, brother.
The Bible says she came in the press to touch him. But I want you to notice one reason why she came. Why her need was so great. She couldn't wait for somebody to help her. She didn't want to wait until Christ came and knocked on her door. She was so desperate because her remedies, what does the Bible say? The Bible says a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's a long time to live with pain.
Amen.
And there might be somebody in this room right now, you've lived a long time with pain. A long time with disappointment. And you've sought many ways. And the Bible says, and suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing the better, but rather grew worse. For 12 years, she sought for a remedy and a cure for her malady. But in her desperation, she said, I think I'll go to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean this hatefully, but why do we wait?
Hey,
make
come on.
Christ the last resort.
That's right, bro.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why spend everything we have? Look at me. I'll tell you why the world's 100,000 people, 100,000 young Americans under the age of 35. Died of a drug overdose last year. We just got in the car today. And little children, the number one cause of death among little children is suicide. 100,000 Americans last year alone died of a drug overdose. And the number one cause of death among children, not teenagers, children. Can you imagine being so desperate,
come over.
So full of pain, so full of worry, so full of care as a 10-year-old?
Yeah.
I've got news for you. My wife passed away 10 years ago. I'm going to confess to you, the closest I actually ever come to taking my own life was that first month. It hurt. It wasn't just physical, it was emotional loneliness. I hurt. You heard about it, you know what a broken heart is? I had one. But thank God Jesus came.
Amen.
Jesus filled that house up with his presence and made me know I'm not done with you yet, George.
Amen.
And sent someone along my way to help heal my broken heart. He bindeth the wound and healeth the brokenhearted.
Man.
Here was this woman of 12 years, spent all she had, suffered. Those physicians cut on her, poured stuff down her. And the Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. Look at me, friend. Look at me, friend. Why is Christ the last thing we turn to?
Yeah, true.
Think about that. Are we having fun yet?
Come on, brother.
Is this what the Lord wants you to have?
Yeah.
This is why I want him to preach.
Come on, brother.
100,000 American youth, 35 and younger. And I'm a little higher on that number of 35. Most drug addicts don't make it to 25.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And this is not deliberate suicide. This is an overdose.
Yeah.
And I pictured how it's crossed the border in Mexico to kill every American. And that's 300. Are we having fun yet?
Come on, brother.
What are you trying to say, Brother
Preach
Griffiths?
Word.
We have a country out there, young people, desperate for a cure.
Yeah.
Why am I depressed? Why am I lonely? My wife read that on her phone coming in here, the number one cause, as I said before, among children, is suicide. Why? Most of the time they're from broken homes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time those children are being raised by drug addicts.
Yeah, true.
Raised in, he told his story this morning about he was more acquainted with the back end of the church than he was inside of it. But I got news for you. That man was loved by his father.
Amen.
Did you ever feel unloved?
No.
All my dad had to do was this.
Yeah.
There come a time when we got out of line, he would just go like that. I mean, the spirit of calm would come over us. My mother carried a switch with her everywhere she went. We looked upon it as the great equalizer. She had three children from the age of 19 to 23. She had three children. So most of the time we were just a bunch of rowdy kids. So everywhere she went, she took a switch. And my mother would stop us in the middle of a store, and she would, we'd be getting out of hand and crying, and I want this and I want that. My mother would stop and say, you want me to pull your britches down in front of all these people and spank you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't the idea that she wanted to spank me. I didn't want my britches pulled down.
Yeah.
That's right. Full of strangers. Well, I mean, not one time growing up as a child did I ever feel unloved by any one of those two.
That's right.
Not one time. But we killed 1.5 million babies before they had a chance to be loved.
That's right.
And when they do get born into some of these homes, they're unloved. And here was a woman who had suffered many things and many physicians, who grew not the better, but rather grew worse. She heard that Jesus did all that he did. And she thought, if I could just come to him,
mm-hmm.
if I could just get to him, I'll be made whole. And she made her way through that press, coming to Jesus, and with that trembling hand of faith, reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her blood dried up. And Christ said, someone touched me.
Amen.
And Peter, just like the rest of us unbelieving disciples, said, how can you say somebody touched you when that's all they've been doing all morning?
Amen, brother. That's right.
Amen. He's going, who is this guy?
Me too.
But it was a special touch. It was a special touch. It wasn't just, they weren't touch. She wasn't touching a celebrity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was touching the last hope.
Yeah, amen.
The last right. vestige of her future. Amen. I don't make it. I'm going to die this
yeah.
way.
Amen.
You know why? She came to Jesus because her remedies left her in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Her remedies left her worse off than her disease. And I've got news for you. He's still the balm of Gilead.
Amen.
He's still the great physician there.
Amen.
He's still the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And you may feel like he, look at me, he's here this morning.
Amen.
Why don't you just come to him?
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you just come
Amen.
To him?
Amen.
She went to Christ because her remedies had failed her and left her in pain. There was a second person that came to Christ. His name was Zacchaeus, a little man. When the Bible says he heard that Christ was in town, same basis, you're not going to get saved unless the Word of God is taught to you and preached to you and the gospel is shared with you. Heard and heard. Why was he curious to see this Christ? It's because of what he heard. And the Bible says he sought for a way. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. He sought for a way that he might see him. And when he couldn't, the Bible says he was a man of small stature. He couldn't jump high enough to hear Jesus, to see Jesus Christ as he walked by. So the Bible says he ran ahead. He ran ahead. He was desperate. There was something empty inside of him, something longing inside of him, that made him say, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and see this Jesus that I've heard so much about. And ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree. For the Lord, the Bible, the song says he wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
He climbed up that tree deliberately so he could get to Jesus Christ and see him. And when Jesus passed by, Listen, none of this is a coincidence with the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
The woman at the well was not a coincidence. The pool of Bethesda was not a coincidence. This woman with the issue of blood, it was not a coincidence. He was actually there for her.
Amen.
But she had to get to him. And Zacchaeus, Christ was there for him to pass through that town. He went down that one street.
Yes, yes.
He went down that one street on purpose.
Yeah.
Because there was somebody up there trying to find him. Oh, I love this.
Amen.
I love this. The Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen. Amen.
I'm an inspiration. I'm an empty pride. I've got to have more. And he climbed up in a tree. A tax collector who robbed people. Jesus Christ saw him and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today's salvation has come to thy house. And he got saved. You see, how do you know he got saved? He said, everybody that I've robbed.
Yes.
Everybody I've robbed, I will repay it fourfold.
Amen.
I will repay it fourfold. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
That's right.
You know what all that extra money was for him? All that extra money of Zacchaeus, it was an attempt. I'm having fun. All of that extra money he had that he stole from somebody else was an attempt to fill a void.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Just like the drugs this generation is taking and their own lives they're taking. Is it cry for help? Would somebody actually love me? Mm-hmm. Will somebody help me fill this void? This pain is too great. This pain is too great. Zacchaeus had a void. I love this.
Amen. Good preaching, brother.
Why did he diligently seek the Lord? Why did he run ahead? Why did he climb up that sycamore tree? Because all that money.
Yes.
Left him in poverty.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All that riches just left him in poverty.
Yes.
Just like that woman's remedies left her in pain. All that extra money left him poor and empty. And when he got saved, that void got filled. And that money became worthless.
That's right. Amen.
Because he had found the true riches.
Amen.
Amen.
He found the true riches, and that true riches is Jesus Christ. The woman with the issue of blood sought out Jesus because her remedies left her in pain. Zacchaeus came to Jesus because his riches left him in poverty. And there was a third fellow in the book of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. A ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night.
Amen. Amen.
As empty as those first two people were, in pain and empty and alone and in poverty, this ruler of the Jews came to Jesus Christ because his religion left him perplexed, left him in darkness. I'm having fun. And I'm not being hateful. I want to say it again. Why wait 12 years?
Amen.
Why wait till the end of your life to have the void you have this morning filled by the only one who can fill it?
Amen.
The drugs and the morality will not fill it. Nothing will fill it. You will die and go to hell if you try to fill it with anything other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here was this fellow by the name of Nicodemus who woke up empty, who went to bed empty, who walked the streets and studied the law. And I'm not talking about the traffic laws and things like that. Studied the Bible and went away empty. He went to church and went home empty. He taught the Torah and went home empty. He discussed the scriptures with those who knew and went home empty.
Amen.
Because his religion couldn't fill the void.
Amen.
His religion couldn't do it. And I'm going to remind all of us this morning. And you say, well, Brother Griffiths, I'm saved. It might not be everybody. It might not be everybody. Your religion won't fill it.
Amen.
You need to come to Christ.
Amen.
And what was it Jesus Christ told that brewer of the Jews? Except a man be born again, cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So wealth doesn't fill it. Remedies don't fill it. And religion doesn't fill it. You may back up and say it one more time. In the name of Jesus Christ, why wait any longer?
Amen.
Come to Him. Every head bowed.
Amen. Thank you.
Her remedies left her in pain. His riches left him in poverty. And his religion left him problemed and troubled and perplexed. You might be here today and you fit one of these people. You might be saved, but you've been pursuing riches. You might be saved, but you've been pursuing a healing and a cure. And I'm not even necessarily talking about a physical healing. You might have a spiritual problem, an emotional problem that only Christ can take care of. And you might be here this morning as religious as Nicodemus, but you're empty. You're empty. I'm here to tell you, Nicodemus got saved. You see, how do you know that? Though he came to him at night, not to be seen by his peers. And just like that woman came to Christ in the heat of the day, not to be seen by her peers. There come a time when Nicodemus had to step out of the crowd and say, I am a follower of Jesus. The Bible says on four different accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that when Christ died, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came begging the body of Christ. They had to step out of the shadows and into the light and let everybody know that they were followers of Jesus Christ. Your religion won't fill your void. It'll just leave you perplexed until you know Jesus. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Or maybe you're this morning and you're saved, but you've been spending everything else trying to fill that gap and that void in your life that only Jesus can cure. God was here to speak to us all about the great need we have. And I'm here to remind us all that Christ is still the answer. Would you give your life to Christ? Not to be saved again. If you're saved, you're saved. But you need to give your life to Christ. Suffered many things of many physicians who grew not the better, but rather grew worse. Or we've spent our lives trying to make a living when we've not met the life. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Trying to make a living when we don't know the life. Father, take this time of invitation. Use it for your glory. Save that man, woman, boy, or girl that needs Jesus this morning. Lord, that's what you're here for. That's what this whole thing was all about. Is somebody to meet you. And help them to come to thee. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Randy, you come on.
Amen.